We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Tony, let's go.
What it do, baby?
Yeah.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Rick Camp, I'm going to need you to say that list again, but I'm going to need you to say it sexier.
The Breakfast Baconator. You start out with a sensuous sausage patty. Slap on some melted American cheese.
Slap that cheese on.
Then it gets topped with the crispy bacon.
Yeah, Tony.
Take it off. Take it off.
The top bun has not been put on yet. You get the egg and you just gently lay it over the crispy bacon.
That's right. Lay it down. Smack it up, flip it, and rub it down.
Take more American cheese and melt it on top of that egg. The crispy bacon makes another appearance just because you asked for it again.
Yes, sir.
And then you put the top of the bun on and you have a breakfast baconator.
And you finish it off. That's just great. Oh, wait, there's more.
The dollop of hollandaise because you had such a good time.
Oh. Woo! Wee! That is a sexy baconator.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Yeah, yesterday's show got weird, but that's kind of what we do here between noon and 2, along with trying to do in-depth sports stuff as well. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I am here with you until 2:05 today because of a West Coast day game. So Cubs and Padres will finish their series. So we'll give you an extra 5 minutes of some sort of content leading into the Cubs taking on the San Diego Padres. Rick Camp is here. Tony Gills, executive producer of this show. We haven't done this in the last couple days because we had like some new stuff that's happening at the top of it. But we will start today's show as we start all things with a rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
Yeah, so the Rundown is a way for us to kind of catch up on things that are going on in the Chicago and sometimes the national sports world. We try to do that between highlights and sound bites on the show. If you haven't heard the segment before, try to run through a couple things and get you caught up. Like the White Sox losing yesterday 8-6, but Aloy has what, 26 home runs now?
In the air, deep right field. More opposite field. Thunder. One more time. A three-run shot after a grand slam last night, and the Sox have the lead.
And Aloy is now inching his way back up to being an 800 OPS player on the season. Jose Abreu with his 32nd home run for the White Sox as well. Reynaldo Lopez got beat up for 4 home runs on the other side of it after having a great start the last time out. Let's talk about the Chicago Sky for a second. The Sky are advancing in the WNBA playoffs after they beat the tar out of the Mercury last night.
The Chicago Sky are on to round 2. A decisive victory over Phoenix. 105-76 the final.
So, yeah, it was a pretty impressive night. Tony, stop the rundown for just a second here because I had the opportunity this morning. It's the LoHo Daily today. If you're into the Sky, I talked with their head coach, James Wade, who is the WNBA Coach of the Year. Now, the whole interview is on LoHo Daily, but there was a chunk of it that, like, just a little 90-second chunk of it that I wanted to play for you because if you haven't watched Diamond DeShields ball, if you're one of those people that's like, I don't watch the WNBA, I'm telling you, you need to watch her because she's a really special player. She scored 25 points, last night, and I don't think that anyone runs like her.
Yeah, she's different.
She's different in the WNBA. So I asked James Wade about his star player.
I mean, she's such a gifted athlete. You know, she comes from an athletic family, and I think it's in her DNA. She works hard, but some things she has you can't teach, you know. And, you know, you see her, it's like she's running. She looks like a track runner when she's running in transition, because she just accelerates and just passed by everyone. So, I mean, she's a gifted athlete, and for her to be so not only acrobatic but so skilled with that, it's a great combination of tools for a WNBA player.
When you have a player that's that gifted athletically, what things do you have to make sure of to make sure that they're playing the game the right way and they're living up to their potential?
I mean, it's a lot of game study. But, you know, someone that gifted, you don't want to hold them back. And you just have to hone their talents a little bit and kind of fit it with the other players. So, you know, sometimes you let her play, and sometimes you coach that skill too to kind of, you know, compartmentalize when and where to exploit, you know, the players that she's playing against.
Phoenix coach Sandy Brondello last night said that she thinks the Diamond Shields could end up being the best player in the league. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it's fair. She has that potential. And Diamond said, you know, I have a long way to go. So it's a process to everything. And what we're doing is we're just, you know, focused on the process so that she can one day get there and then, you know, sustain it. So, I mean, I think the potential's there. You know, now it's just about playing and getting there and being able to, you know, take a team further and further because, you know, that's what the great players do. They put teams on their back and they make them win.
And if you didn't know, Diamond DeShields is the daughter of Delino DeShields, and she's a really impressive player. If you want to hear the entire interview, it's my LoHo Daily today. Back to the rundown, and your boy, Mitchell Trubisky. If you missed it yesterday, there was an awkward moment of his press conference where he was discussing how he can't discuss what happened last week.
You talked about the 3rd-and-1 RPO the other day. Or Matt talked about it. Can you walk us through just kind of everything you're evaluating when you're deciding whether to give it or keep it for a throw?
No, I was told not to talk about the last game. There's a lot of decisions on each play, and there's like 3 or 4 different plays built in one. Sometimes it's the right decision, sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes I make the wrong decision, but I make it right with the way I execute it. But we're moving on to this week, and we just got to be almost automatic in 3rd-and-1. We got to just make sure we get those.
Was it Adam
or somebody else? Adam amongst other people that we're moving on.
By the way, Matt Nagy said that he wasn't one of the people that told Mitch he couldn't talk about it. And also, Mitch's answer was good. His actual answer on RPO stuff was solid. We need to get more into this, and I promise you that we will. But we need to talk some baseball. There was an opportunity for the Cubs last night to make a move because this happened to the Cardinals.
This ball crushed deep center field, way back, and gone. Ian Desmond gives the Rockies a 2-1 lead.
The Cardinals end up losing 2-1. Was that 2 nights in a row that they've lost 2-1? So there was a chance for movement in the National League Central, but the team who did the moving was the Milwaukee Brewers.
2-1 to count on the Moose. And a high drive, deep right field, it is long gone. Mike Moustakas goes upper tank, and the Brewers have taken the lead in the 9th inning.
So the Brewers win that game 7-5. So they're sitting there a half game behind the Cubs before the Cubs finish their game. And you didn't need all day to figure out that the Cubs weren't going to win because they didn't score. So it made things pretty easy once Will Myers did this.
The 3-1, ground ball, base hit. It's going to drive in 2 runs up the middle. 2-run single for Will Myers, and the Padres now lead 4-0.
Yeah, 4-0 would be your final. So the Cardinals lose, Milwaukee wins, the Cubs lose. That leaves the National League Central like this. The Cardinals at 81-64 have a four-game lead on both the Cubs and the Brewers, who are tied at 77-68. And if they're tied in the division, that means they're also tied for that second spot in the wild card. The wild card standings look like this. Washington is up 3.5 games for home field in the wild card game over the Cubs and the Brewers, who are tied for the last spot in the playoffs, with the Mets and Phillies 2 games behind them and Arizona 2.5 games behind the Cubs and the Brewers. So that concludes our rundown for today. We're going to let you hear from Theo Epstein around 1 o'clock, and we're going to discuss it. There's a lot of stuff in there. Like, I went through the notes, and it's there. Sometimes I feel like people are just satisfied with, well, this guy's angry, so that's good. At least he's angry. And I will tell you that there's actually more stuff in there. Instead of just being angry, I think it's more pointed in some of his criticisms of himself and the rest of the staff on why the Cubs are that way. But coming up in the next segment, there was some stuff that, whether it was yesterday that happened at the podium, the soundbite that I played for you, I was reminded by Danny Parkins yesterday when we were talking in transition. He goes, did you hear Eddie Jackson with us? And I said, you know, no, I didn't. I didn't hear Eddie J. And then it kind of got lost inside the weekend of NFL stuff. He said, you know, he said something kind of interesting about the Mitch thing that could be tied to everything that what we're talking about. And I was like, all right, well, I had Tony go back and find it. I want to share it with you. I want to talk about it. And then some of the reporting about Mitch and where he's at right now. It might be concerning. I've got some thoughts on it. I think some guys have done some good work on the Bears beat over the last couple of days of fleshing some of this stuff out. But I'll speak on it after a quick timeout. But first, let me tell you this. With the first pick in the plumbing and heating supply draft, contractor select supplyhouse.com. With next day delivery speed and total inventory coverage, supplyhouse.com does it all. Stop wasting your time and money. Supplyhouse.com, your online supplier for plumbing, heating, and HVAC. Take it to the house. Supplyhouse.com. Mitchell Trubisky, is there an issue of confidence here? We'll discuss next on The Score. We have a very dense show today. There's a lot of stuff that we want to get to, including letting you hear from Theo Epstein. We'll do that around 1 o'clock today. Some things I want to discuss when it comes to the Cubs. And I thought that he was very pointed in his comments about the Cubs. And I know that some people will enjoy the red meat aspect of his displeasure with the team. I do want to hear solutions, and I'm sure that the conversation about those solutions to some of the Cubs' problems will come after the season is done. But if you're looking for urgency from Theo Epstein, you got it this morning, and if you missed it, I'm going to share it coming up in about a half an hour. But first, some Bears stuff. But that's after I tell you about the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open up the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. Look, whenever you have a Thursday game, it's going to feel like forever until the next game is played, especially if you lose. Then, if you add in the pomp and circumstance of the 100th season of the NFL, you add in the hated rivalry between the Bears and the Packers, you add in opening night in the NFL and these two teams being on stage, you add in Matt Nagy is dressed up like Papa Bear Hallis as he walks into Soldier Field. That means the Bears are going to win by 7 million. And it didn't. It didn't mean that at all. Then, new pieces to the puzzle for Green Bay's defense, a defense that Mike Pettine has now seen twice as the defensive coordinator up in Green Bay, and he was ready for it. My colleague David Hall and I, we were having a good text exchange about the column that he wrote yesterday in the Tribune. And one of the things that's glaring, and I've talked about this, but not in as great of detail as David did in the column. If you look at what happened to the Bears offense, it's been happening to the Bears offense. What you saw for most of 2018 was an offense that was scoring about 30 points a game. But after you get to week 11, and you go week 11 through week 1 of this season, including the playoff game, the Bears have averaged 18.8 points per game. So understand that that we're talking about the possibility that through all of the football that was played last year, through Matt Nagy's offense that has been on display, that there's been an adaptation to it.
The league is caught up faster than what we originally thought.
Yeah. I don't have any doubt that Matt Nagy is going to be able to also push back. I think that he's smart enough to do that. Although, I do worry when you have a coach saying, we didn't run the ball enough when the power was in his hands to run the ball, if that's what he chose to do.
That first game also let me know personally that he didn't know the league had caught up last season the way he started out this season.
It does feel like that. And we'll see if Vic Fangio is going to be able to take advantage of this too, knowing the man and knowing the scheme. I just don't – we'll do like a full-fledged like Bears-Broncos preview tomorrow. I just don't see how Denver is going to have enough offense to win the game. I just think their quarterback is washed, and I just don't see that happening. They could create points on defense maybe, and maybe that's – or opportunities on defense. And because the Bears weren't able to do that aspect of what they do defensively, it showed you how thin the margins are. The Bears didn't take the ball away. They didn't put the offense in a great field position with a takeaway. They did by playing great defense and getting off the field, but not with taking the ball away last year being the league leader in takeaways with 36. And this was one of the issues of people who thought the Bears might take a step back, that part of it might be the luck that went into, along with the skill of them taking the ball away last year, would it be able to continue this year? I say all that as a preamble to then talking about the quarterback and talking about Mitchell Trubisky as a third-year guy. And I'm not even comparing him to Mahomes and Watson. I'm just talking about what we see on a week-in and week-out basis. His play is scattered. There are moments when you see some brilliance. And even in the Green Bay game, I thought he showed some of those moments. The throw on the run as he's rolling right, I thought was wow. It was a wow moment. But then there were other things where in the first half, he's staring down Allen Robinson. And Darnell Savage is like, I know exactly where you're going with the ball, and breaks on the ball. Him staring down Allen Robinson in the end zone, where Adrian Amos was like, I know exactly what this formation is, and you don't look me off, so I'm going to go right where I think the ball is going to go. When he gets in trouble, Allen Robinson is the receiver that he trusts. Mitch didn't play well. He didn't. The head coach didn't help him either. Neither did the offensive line. And outside of Allen Robinson, damn near no one else on the offense helped Mitch out. But that doesn't mean that he gets to skate. He didn't play well. So we need to talk about it. And we'll talk about it until he plays well. And this gives him a great opportunity on Sunday against a defense that has some interesting parts that could make life difficult for him. How does he adjust? Part of the maturation of any quarterback is going to be dealing with the lows. It's dealing with the lows. And it was a low. The Bears can try and down talk and downplay everything that happened in the first game of the season as if they weren't part of the hype train about their own season and the 100th season and starting the season off against Green Bay. I am not letting them off the hook for that at all. It is 1-15. I am aware of that. But the Bears, the NFL, NBC, Everyone played a role in making that game feel bigger than what it actually was. Can Mitch bounce back from it? Absolutely. And you should expect him to. Not that you want him to. You should expect him to bounce back from it. But then where I worry about this, and it's a small worry, it's not cataclysmic. And I want you to understand that in my presentation. It's not cataclysmic. I do worry that he is being handled and there might be a need for him to be managed. And I don't like that. And I don't think that a third-year quarterback should be in that position. Okay? Here's example one. I'm going to go back to Friday on the McNeil and Parkins show. Now, you were watching the game on Thursday. You heard the boos, and the boos came early. Why? Because expectation. That's what the Bears, they do need to realize that because they showed so well last year, because the first half of the season was filled with games where they were scoring 30 points a game, that it raised the level of expectations. And when expectations get raised and then they aren't met, you're going to hear from your fan base that you brought back in last year because they were like, oh, wow. This looks great. So Eddie Jackson was on with McNeil and Parkins on Friday, and he talked to the guys about the possible impact on the quarterback that the booing had.
I get that, but it's just at the same time, if I call myself a true fan of somebody, you know, right or wrong, me, I'm a ride till the wheels fall off. You know, Alabama. I went to the University of Alabama. We lost games. You know, crowd never booed. I don't care if the offense is doing horrible. Booing, it's not acceptable. You know, when times get hard, you don't kick no one when they down. You know, you pick them up. You know, if the offense not scoring and you see they not scoring, don't boo. Cheer for them. Lift them up. You know, your quarterback, you know, he needs the confidence. You know, you got to build them up. Let them know, oh, we still rocking with you. Let the offense know we still rocking with you. Don't boo them. You know, and that's just one of the things I don't like. Just like with the kicking the field goal situation. We miss a field goal, they boo. We make a field goal, they cheer. We're going to be one way, we're going to be one way. It's not going to be this and that. Like, you know, we all in it together. You know, it's not just them. It's not just us. We all in it together. We want to do it for them, and I know they want it for us.
I love Eddie Jackson. I think he is a special player. I also think he's a smart guy. Hashtag Roll Tide. The games that he lost at Alabama – We're national championship games. Okay? So, I mean, the stakes are a little bit higher, and they didn't do a lot of losing while Eddie J was there.
I mean, they weren't losing to, like, Bethune-Cookman or something.
Well,
like that, you know?
It's not like the Bears lost to a professional team and a rival and one of the greatest quarterbacks that's ever played the game.
But again, expectations, though.
But you know? Exactly, Tony. Expectations. And you hear him talking about it is. While it is okay for people to be crazy in their fandom, it's a switch that's hard to turn off. And you could say all you want, well, you have to ride or die with us. But here's the thing. They were promised jetpacks. Bears fans were promised not only was the offense going to stay at the level that they were at last year, they were going to make a move. Because of the quarterback. And if I hear that, if I want to in that cut, I can hear a player saying that the quarterback is affected by what the crowd does. Well, good thing they'll be in Denver this weekend instead of playing at home. I think that everyone who watched that game and was disappointed, I think that anyone who watched it from the perspective of being a Bears fan was completely disappointed in what they saw offensively. Defensively, about right, what you expected. And that's why the defense didn't get booed. Even when they gave up the touchdown to Jimmy Graham, the defense didn't get booed because the defense was getting off the field and making plays. And Khalil Mack played the way that you expected. And Roy Robertson Harris played higher than your expectations. And Leonard Floyd played higher than your expectations. The offense didn't do that. You've set a standard. Now,
I hate to be the one to tell the folks at Halas Hall that they've done this, but congratulations, you've done it. You've set a standard. And in game one of the NFL season, that standard was not met. And the people that you set the standard for, they know that because they watched your games last year. And they were expecting better, as were the people at Halas Hall. You were expecting better. You can't tell me you were expecting to only score 3 points. And if you're allowed to be disappointed in the way that your offense played, then the fans damn sure can be disappointed in the way that your offense played. But back to the quarterback. So you have Eddie J in there saying, look, maybe, you could interpret it and say that the quarterback is affected by what the crowd does, right? So then you have this bizarre scene with Mitchell Trubisky. That's not fair. You have this weird moment with Mitchell Trubisky being asked a question that kind of doesn't even have to do with the Packers game per se, but was a question mostly about how the offense works. And then you got this exchange.
You talked about the 3rd-and-1 RPO the other day, or Matt talked about it. What can you walk us through just kind of everything you're evaluating when you're deciding whether to give it or keep it for a throw?
I was told not to talk about the last game. There's a lot of decisions on each play, and there's like 3 or 4 different plays built in one. Sometimes it's the right decision, sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes I make the wrong decision, but I make it right with the way I execute it. But we're moving on to this week, and we just got to be almost automatic in 3rd-and-1. We got to just make sure we get those.
Was it Adam
amongst other people that we're moving on.
Okay. As I said earlier in the rundown, Mitch's answer to the question was good. And it's a general question. It wasn't even Packers specific. What are you looking for when it comes to how you decide on whether you're going to keep, hand off, or pass? That's what they're asking. They're asking, how does the offense work? Probably because of the fact that in the fourth quarter, they threw the ball 23 times and ran it 0 times. And Matt Nagy had said previously that the RPOs are why that happened. Mitch saw what he was supposed to see to call a pass play instead of a run play. And that's how you end up with that disparity. What I don't like is the quarterback seemingly being handled. This is the guy that's in charge of your entire offense. This is the guy that is supposed to be, we're talking $150 million of contract extension. We're talking about leadership, the guy that commands the huddle, the guy that's the captain that everyone looks to when things go bad. You mean to tell me that he needs to be handled by the PR staff? So you add that to the Eddie Jackson stuff, and it doesn't look great. And then last night, I'm on Twitter. I'm watching the Cubs game, trying to figure out what Cole Hamels is doing at the plate. And Dan Wiederer, who covers the Bears every day for the Tribune, he, Colleen Kane, Rich Campbell, they do a wonderful job covering the team. He tweeted this out. Concerns about Mitch Trubisky's confidence and his ability to steady a rocking boat are very real inside Halas Hall. It's incredibly weird to say, but a week 2 road game against an ordinary opponent suddenly feels much heavier than it should. In a subsequent tweet, he says, the current worry about Trubisky's headspace has created angst about what might happen if others begin to lose confidence in him. In many ways, the Bears lost last week was a worst case scenario, followed by an extra long layoff. A win in Denver is now close to a must. Rich Campbell went on to write about this in the Tribune today, and I highly recommend that you read what he wrote. Here's another piece. If you wanted to, Bears defensive players, a lot of them scattered after the game on Thursday.
Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks was not available to answer questions after the loss.
And if I wanted to, I could speculate why that is. That they were unhappy with the way that the offense played. If I wanted to speculate, I could do that. So yesterday, to me, wasn't an issue, and Dan, I think, said it more succinctly, wasn't a media issue to me. It was weird from a media perspective, and I thought the follow-up question by Patrick Finley was appropriate. Who told you not to talk about it? And then Matt Nagy today was like, it wasn't me. Who told him not to talk about it? And that's the other thing. The Bears will get mad at us, and I've heard Matt Nagy talk about this in his post-game press conferences, about the concept of dwelling. Fam, you are the king of dwelling.
Facts.
You brought 9 kickers in here to make the same kick that Cody Parkey missed.
In front of the media.
In front of us. That was your whole spring, was dwelling on the loss. So don't come around here. Don't come around here no more. Don't come around here talking about we're the ones who are dwelling on stuff. You, sir, have a resume of doing at least a little bit of dwelling. And I get it. It hurt. Which is why all of us are dwelling on what happened against Philadelphia. But let me just tell you that it's a bigger thing here. Since week 11, they've averaged 19 points a game. And you can go back and watch some of those games towards the end of the season, specifically the game against the Rams, a game that the Bears won, where clank, clank, handcuffs on your quarterback because your defense was good enough to win a Super Bowl. I was told that the quarterback is ready to go from 101 to 202 in the Bears offense. In game one, he got a D-. Let's see what he does in game two. Back after this on The Score. At 1 o'clock, we are going to spend some time talking about the Cubs. I'm going to let you hear from Theo Epstein. If you didn't hear it, man, you need to stick around for it for sure. Really good interview by Mullion Haw. I'll share a big portion, not all of it, but a big portion of it that we thought as a staff was the most important. By the way, I mean, Campy, how long have you been at The Score now?
I believe I started right after Thanksgiving 2011.
So 8-9 years for you, right?
Yeah.
Tony, how long have you been here?
I think 4 years.
Okay, so I don't know if Tony was here long enough to remember the Jay Cutler has night diabetes talk that would happen on The Score often.
All the time.
Remember that? Remember that in nighttime games, if you looked at Jay Cutler's splits of the primetime games, Monday night, Sunday night, or Thursday night, they'd be really bad. And people would then call The Score and go, well, you know why Cutler's bad at night? Because he got diabetes. And he can't see at night. And that's why he has all of these problems. Allow me to give you the numbers for Mitchell Trubisky at night and see if you ask him if he's got diabetes. Mitchell Trubisky's numbers during the daytime, like noon starts for him, he is real good. If you look at his numbers in there, he's a 96.7 rating. He's played 17 games. The record is 9-8, and granted, you know, bad that first year that he only played quarterback in a few of those games, but bad. He's in those games, does a good job of completing it. I feel like his numbers are about right in those games. Now let's look at the games when he's playing at night. The late afternoon games, by the way, are his best. So shout out to Denver. 3:25 kickoff, Mitch may be in the house on Sunday. That's where he gets his highest completion rate of 72%. How about we look at the late games, though? Sunday night, Thursday night, the Monday night games. He's played in 6 of those, and the record is 3-3. He completes 61% of his passes in those games. In those games, like the one that was played last Thursday, he has 5 touchdowns and 9 interceptions for a passer rating of 63.4. I don't know if that means anything. I don't know if it's a big enough sample size. That's a lot of primetime games in 3 years. But I don't know if it means anything. If the moment's too big for him, I just know that those are the numbers. And it's something to keep in mind. We've seen him look uneven in big games. My hope is that you're going to see a better version of Mitch and the Bears offense. Olin said something yesterday where he was talking about pass protection. And he was saying how you can't disconnect the quarterback from the offensive line when it comes to pass protection, because the quarterback's first job is to protect himself. If I could take that and extrapolate it, maybe we shouldn't take Mitch out of the offense either. That when we're talking about Mitch, that we are making sure that we're talking enough about the offense. And that goes back to Matt Nagy. It goes back to the conversation that we had earlier in the week with Anthony Heron, where Anthony's saying, look, I don't think the coach did a great job of putting him in the best position. And there might be reasons for it. Stuff in practice that we can't see. Stuff that we don't know. All this stuff is that when we get the information, part of what I feel my job is to try and figure out what it is, to be the conduit between the fans and the team and the team and the fans. Use the access that I have to try and learn and try to be fair and equitable about this. But if you remember what I was talking about during training camp, I come back from Bourbonnais and I go, you know, offense looked a little off. And I don't know if it means anything. Defense looked ahead of the offense. Well, of course it did, Lawrence. It's the number one defense in the league. And maybe the Packers will prove to be the best defense in the NFL this year. But I know for damn sure that you weren't expecting that. No one was. You may have expected that there'd be 10 points scored by Green Bay because the Bears' defense is so good. No one expected the Bears would only score 3 points. And lifted expectations are going to bring that about, especially if you don't have the winning in your recent history. The Bears had it last year, but before that, it was a win desert. You know it. I know it. They probably know it. And on Monday, all of this stuff could be completely wiped away because Mitch goes out to Denver. The Bears offense balls out. They embarrass Vic Fangio in his home debut, and everything's great. But if they don't, that's the situation that the Bears have put themselves in week two. That's what Dan Wiederer is talking about in his tweet. If you don't, then what? Then what are we talking about? Why do you have that bemused look on your face, Tony? Look like you want to say something.
No, I just don't want to put, like, you know, my mindset if they lose. Because I do think they're going to win because Joe Flacco's just awful.
He's trash, right?
He's so awful.
He's trash, and there's no way that that guy should be able to do anything against the Bears' defense,
all
right?
All the peripherals going into the game, though, point to Denver.
Like what?
What is it, in week one or two home games since 2000?
They always win.
Broncos are 22-1.
Yep.
If you go back to the merger, it's 51-8-2. So you have that working for them. I mean, at least the Bears have the extra rest, so maybe that's a different factor for the last few years that doesn't, you know, play into it as much. So I think that is important. And just the fact that while the Broncos defense isn't what it was, it doesn't have quite the depth to it used to, but it still has the pass rushers. It still has the corner.
It has Miller and Chubb, and they can be a problem.
Chris Harris, who I'm not sure how Fangio wants to play it, but if he travels with Allen Robinson,
He could be taken away in the game.
But overall, you look at the rosters, the Bears clearly have the better roster.
He might be able to make those plays.
Sure.
The plays that the Green Bay secondary didn't make. Chris Harris might run your route for you and intercept the ball. And then there's a problem. I like where your head's at, though, Tony. You're trying to be confident. You're trying to will it into existence. I think that you're fine this weekend. What did we find out yesterday? The last 3 years, Joe Flacco has averaged, what, 6.2 yards per attempt?
Yeah, like worse in the league.
Yeah. Trash.
Elway said he was in his prime when he signed him.
Yeah, Elway, it's amazing.
Elway loves tall bums.
It's amazing that a quarterback, as great as he was, can't identify a quarterback.
It's the blind spot of every like great athlete turned GM executive, except for like Larry Bird.
But my thing is that if Elway was looking at tape of these guys while they were his teammates, he would go, "These guys suck."
That's a player right there. Look at that, standing all tall.
Yeah,
Paxton Lynch couldn't be bothered to get away from an Xbox.
I mean,
to learn the playbook. I mean,
learning it on the Xbox.
I was just going to say, maybe they put in the real playbook into his version of Madden.
I mean,
you can create your own playbook.
This texter says, if Flacco is trash, what is Mitch?
Not great.
Yeah, I would say that he's definitely not trash. Is Mitch good? Exact. Tony, that is the correct question as we build more and more evidence that maybe. All right, so we need to take a break, and we're going to take a break from football because we're going to talk a little baseball. The president of the Cubs was on this station today. He said some stuff that you need to hear. I will share it with you next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.